begins now, and it begins with the Saints coming. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it, Tausch. Sorry. I won't do it.
Do it! Are they walking? Are they jogging? Or is it more like a band?
Trotting?
What are we feeling?
The Saints come sauntering in. Ambling in.
I can see that. Yeah, but especially
in?
The O-line. It's always... You don't see a lot of like, woo! It's more...
Oh, when the Saints are sauntering in.
It works. It does work. Well, they're slowly making their way over here. The Packers going through individual drills here at Ray Nitschke Field. Again, full pads again today for the second of the two joint practices.
Oh,
between
my God. Two days?
Yeah, 2 days in a row.
Full pads?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's wow. They're grinders, Tausch. They're grinders.
Where are the Saints staying? They're over at the Kohler Lodge, or what are they doing?
It's a great question. They have this old historic hotel that they renovated downtown. And I'm forgetting the name. It's a Marriott property. But I think it's become a little more popular. In fact, I think there's been a couple of teams that have eschewed their Appleton accommodations and actually stayed in Green Bay, which doesn't always happen with most visiting teams. So, I don't know where they're staying, and if I did, I probably shouldn't say anyway, because although there's, I assume they're checking out. Maybe they've already checked out, right? Because they could be leaving right from practice today after they shower in the visitors' locker room.
Oh,
anyway.
When the Saints go checking out.
They're not. Yeah. Why would they check out? Don't they play a game coming up here?
Oh, they play on Friday. What am I saying? Thank
you. What
the
hell are
you
talking about? Come on.
Should be one of those extended stays. Get the full kitchen.
I don't really think.
You know what that is?
What?
That's one of those silly mistakes. That's like lining up offsides. Like Rodgers would get after me for that mistake. That's a foolish
mistake. I'd get anybody out on the street to jump in there and do that.
And not know that they're playing on Friday? Absolutely.
I really hope what the Green Bay Packers should do, big pig roast over at Titletown on that turf field.
Yeah.
Everybody comes together after a long day of work and have a big old pig roast.
Sure.
Mm. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, Goody's got the pig.
Barbecue.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So,
that'd be a fun idea.
Yeah. What? All right, Tausch. A couple of things on that. One, having worked early in my employment life as a 15-year-old for Rupina's Catering and Grocery Store on the south side of Milwaukee and West Dallas there, I did the pig roast thing. And my Larry Bird Converse weapon high tops melted from the heat. And seeing the pig's face on the spit brings back some pretty upsetting memories for me.
Awesome.
So I'd appreciate it if you would not bring up further pig roasts in the future.
Pig roasts are on the banned list?
Unfortunately, you know how I operate. You should have never told me that, because now my analogies, anytime I could possibly do something with a pig on a spit, I'm going to probably go that route, but continue. Uh-huh.
We're okay with the Austin Powers robots being the jugs machines, but we're not okay referencing
Jason
a pig
is
roast.
So, hey, Aaron's a complicated fella. Jason's a quirky little guy, isn't he? He's quirky.
I am quirky. Also, knowing how you work, I said that knowing that you would get after me for it, and you'd be using it again in the future. I ain't no dummy over here either. I may be quirky, but I'm not dumb. Secondly, we have a new Mission Barbecue wide open. They could cater it. We don't have to have the pig rotating on the spit to get that done.
It's just something about that, though, that brings camaraderie together.
You gotta
looking
at that
a big
pig
hog on a spit.
Yeah.
Just brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
They send the post through its mouth and out the other end.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
watch
Nobody
that.
Nobody said it's pretty. Well, sometimes they have an apple. They put an apple in the pig's mouth.
It's not like it's feeling it.
It's true. No, that's fair. It's still kind of gross. Anyway, they may get together and have some Tito's and some Coors Lights tonight and have that bonding time, because as Tausch correctly pointed
they
out,
should.
They play a game on Friday. All right, now, the Saints still coming ambling over from the other field, so we wait that. But we spent a lot of time today talking about Aaron Rodgers and his comments. Jesse's favorite Packers quarterback, current Packers quarterback, not to be confused with Brett Favre, Jordan Love, played in last Friday's preseason game, will play in this Friday's preseason game, and Aaron Rodgers will not. And Aaron Rodgers felt bad for Jordan, felt bad for him because of what he went through with some of the mistakes that were made, you know, in drop passes and routes. God knows what they were doing, routes. Well, Keyshawn Johnson had some thoughts earlier this week about Jordan Love on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Here is Keyshawn talking about Jordan Love.
I'm a little concerned about Jordan Love. I don't look at the box scores like everybody else and go to the numbers and be like, oh my God, he had a horrible game. I'm just looking at the game. And he just didn't look in control, under control. He didn't look ready. I don't know what it was. It didn't look right. It just looked sloppy, and a lot of throws were late. And maybe that's just timing, and now you're in live games versus practice. But he didn't look right to me. That's the only concern I have. And I know they're not going to cut him, but will he ever get a real shot in his career to be a starting quarterback?
Tausch, do you agree with that assessment from what you saw on Friday night?
Again, I think it's a little unfair.
I think that's a little harsh, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a little unfair, but I do think, you know, the idea of Jordan Love not getting an opportunity to be a starting quarterback, he'll get a chance. I mean, there have been a lot. I mean, Andy Dalton, you mentioned, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have gotten opportunities that were not first-round pedigree. Jordan Love has got the best thing going for him is he has first-round pedigree, and you know the sickness that different personnel people and coaches have, especially when they don't have somebody of maybe it didn't work in Green Bay or maybe he didn't get an opportunity. I can do better as a coach and with my system. Jordan Love will have an opportunity, whether it's next year in Green Bay or somewhere else, to be a starting quarterback in this league. Now, do I think, and we talked about this a bunch Monday, do I think that he is in a position where he right now is more likely to be a stud starter or a nice backup? The proof of what we've seen so far, which is all we can all base any opinions on,
right,
is the latter. Nobody in their right mind could look at what Jordan Love has done so far and think, gotta have him. Need him as my starting quarterback. Because that's just not what the film would show you.
Do you believe that Aaron Rodgers felt bad for him on Friday night? Because I think he did.
Well, he's full of...
I think he watched it, and I think he saw...
Aaron Rodgers...
These things would have been bad for me, too.
That wouldn't have happened to Aaron Rodgers, and we know that.
Guys wouldn't have dropped balls and turned them into interceptions? Guys wouldn't have run long routes. I think he put himself in Jordan Love's position.
Hey, old boy.
If these guys do this to me, we're going to have a lot of picks here.
Hey, old boy.
Old boy.
How many games in Aaron Rodgers' career has he had three interceptions?
Well, he would have only had two.
No, how many games?
I think he's had maybe two of them. I'll look that up.
It ain't many. And he's played in a lot of games. He didn't just play a half. That's in a half. Granted,
yeah, that's true.
Balls tip off of people's hands, and you get balls batted. Stuff happens.
It does.
And I think Aaron Rodgers feels for the fact that he knew Jordan Love was going to come under a lot of scrutiny, and he doesn't feel like it's justified. But Aaron Rodgers also is looking at it and saying, that doesn't happen to me. Because it doesn't. It just doesn't happen to him.
I have the answer to how many three interception games Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to guess before you say it.
Yeah, me too.
I am going to say, one. If I'm Prize Picks, I set it at 1.5 and I take the under.
I'm taking the over.
You probably Googled it.
4-3 interception
Boom.
Games.
Boom.
2008, 2008, 2009, and then the most recent at Carolina in 2017 when he came back from injury for that one
game. So all of them have been a decade over, or he's coming off of a major collarbone.
Hey, Tausch, the standard is the standard, man. Three interceptions.
Yeah, I think we'll take
the standard.
Let me tell you something. I think we'll take four games in 180 that he throws three picks. Jordan Love has played four games, and he's had a half where he threw three picks. You tell me if that's the – if you want to equivalency that, go for it. Okay?
Okay, Munchkin. You don't think that the
four
off of Smitty's
games.
Hands – okay, that's
yeah.
– so we can agree that he does not throw the interception to Amari Rodgers, who ran that crappy route and who he publicly criticized yesterday for said crappy route. Because he doesn't make that decision. He does what he's supposed to. Like Matt LaFleur said, he takes that playoff schedule and does something else. You're telling me that if he throws that same ball to Romeo Doubs, that Romeo Doubs doesn't have the ball wrestled away from him? Are you telling me that if he throws that same ball to Smitty and Smitty has it bounce off his hands and his face mask, that it doesn't get picked? I think he gets two.
Smitty's
I think he looks at that and
pick.
Says, yeah,
hey.
Okay.
Smitty's would have been a pick.
And Romeo,
no, I don't
makes
think
a better
the Doubs.
Throw.
I think Doubs, he puts it in a better spot, and it's not. Yeah, I think he's got one pick in that game. That's what I think.
I am down at the Packers offense versus Saints defense end of the field again. And from Wes Hodkowitz, who I believe is at the Packers defense and Saints offense end, he said there we have some differences, which I think is Packers.com code for maybe a bit of a small fracas. We will check into that. We may have our first fight because I can't see it from this end of the field. But you know, I think very highly of Wes, as you well know.
Okay.
So I will fact check that from this end of the field and see if there's been any fracases.
Fracases. Fight. Give us a fight.
Not a fight. Aaron Rodgers throwing deep to Romeo Doubs. Three Saints defenders. Saints defenders. And the ball was intercepted by safety Marcus May. And Romeo Doubs was the intended receiver, so I'm sure it must have been Romeo Doubs' fault, right? Has to be. Couldn't have been.
Boy, Jason has made a real heel turn on Aaron Rodgers. Have you noticed this?
No.
No, you're getting after old boy a little bit.
You are not here. There were three defenders around Romeo Doubs.
No. Yep.
If that was a wolf, I will ask Romeo Doubs if that interception was his fault after practice. Okay?
In the sauna? You're going to ask him that in the sauna?
In the sauna.
Steam room. What is this, Davante Adams in a playoff game? So he really does look at Doubs as Davante Adams. He's thrown into triple coverage. Alan Lazard is wide open over the middle, and he said, now let's throw it up to Dobber with three people covering him. This is a great sign. Normally interceptions, not a good sign. This is actually a really good sign in Romeo Doubs' development. He's starting to look at him like Davante Adams. That's great news.
The new Davante.
All right, so heel turn notwithstanding, if any quarterback threw a ball and there were three defenders there fighting for it and Marcus May was the one who intercepted it, what would your assessment be?
Bad read, bad throw.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to make sure that we were on the same page. And again, it was an interception. He took a shot downfield to Romeo. It ended up in an interception. So...
did you not like my Davante Adams analysis, though? That was good stuff.
I didn't appreciate the heel turn just because I said that he threw into three defenders, threw an interception because we were talking about interceptions.
It was the little jab saying, I'm sure that was Doubs' fault.
Don't act like you were being all innocent. It's just reportaging. You took a dig, and that's why I gave you a dig back. Don't you? Come on now. Come on now.
We'll have to agree to disagree on our assessment of that, but what we can all agree on around here is that Tausch loves him some Tito's.
Oh, and Tito's, what a day yesterday. Again, over at Lac La Belle. The transfusion, it was back. Oh, it was beautiful, beautiful grape juice, but it was beautiful because Tito's handmade vodka was in it. Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. My guy Tito Beverage, he just continues to rack up awards. Unanimous Judge's Choice Double Gold Medal at the World Spirits Competition. Chairman's Trophy for World's Best Vodka Tonic, and many, many more. Tito's Handmade Vodka, still made on the land right down in Austin, Texas. Distilled from corn and gluten-free. I love Transfusion, the G2, lemonade, cranberry. It doesn't matter what you mix it with. Just make sure it's Tito's in your glass. Visit Tito'sVodka.com for other recipes, videos, and for more. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
More live from Packers-Saints joint practice number 2 at Ray Nitschke Field is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Jordan Love at quarterback. Gone and closed. He's got enough time, and down the field he goes to Ishmael Hyman, and it's incomplete. Live from Packers practice with the New Orleans Saints, joint practice number 2 here at Ray Nitschke Field.
Won't see the team talking about that one. Good PR. Well,
the standard is the standard, Jesse. The standard for Jordan Love is allegedly lower, at least if you ask Jesse, and we're trying to make it sound like it's higher than it is. But let's listen again to Aaron Rodgers talking about Jordan Love and how bad he felt for him during the game the other night.
Coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. It really is. We're going to play our best guys, you know, when the season starts. And whoever those guys are going to get the reps. And it's the guys I trust the most and the guys that the coaching staff trust the most. And a lot of it is just the simple responsibility in the offense. Way before, you know, body positioning and movement and the throw and all that stuff, it's are you in the right spot at the right time? You know, are you running the right route? I feel really bad for Jordan tonight because, you know, we had a couple, you know, total mental busts for picks. We had a drop for a pick. We had, you know, two guys running who knows what on the third one. Now, he should have thrown the ball there probably, but some of that's veteran stuff, making veteran mistakes. So we're going to shift that perspective, a little slight adjustment here moving forward, because it's getting close to that time where it's going to count, and I need guys out there I can trust.
It's getting close to that time where it's going to count, Tausch, and Jordan Love theoretically won't be playing in those games unless something catastrophic happens. Jesse, do you have a text message, I don't know, defending Jordan Love? What you have something about Jordan Love. What does the text on the text line say?
Yeah, this one's from John in Minnesota, texting in on the old National Bank talk and text line, 844-770-3776. From Rodgers' side, the defenses of other teams aren't moving the goalposts for our new receivers as well. The new guys are stepping into big spots and need to be mentally ready for that expectation. So we spent a lot of the show talking about how you can't have the same expectation for the receivers. John is asserting that you have to, because other teams are going to be expecting the Packers offense to be as good as it always is. Why shouldn't we ourselves expect it to be that good?
I don't understand the reasoning from John in Minnesota. Like, I understand the standard is the standard, but you don't think opposing teams are going to come in and go, hey, we're going to be able to shut down this offense because they don't have the best wide receiver in football anymore. And we're going to be able to, we're going to say, look, we can't let Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon beat us. We're not going to play a bunch of two deep safety because we don't feel like we have to guard against MVS beating us down the field in the one thing that he does really well. And we don't have to guard against the best wide receiver in football. So we can try, these guys are going to try and run the ball on us and get the ball out quickly because their offensive line has Elton Jenkins back but doesn't have David Bakhtiari. And so we're going to play them differently than we would have otherwise. Like, And Sammy Watkins with a touchdown catch in the red zone from Aaron Rodgers. Hey, the guys we're going to trust are going to be out there. But opposing defenses are going to know what to expect from. They're going to look at film and they're going to know. It's not like they're not expecting the same approach offensively, just like we're not expecting them to take the same approach offensively.
No, it's a trickle-down effect. And when you remember what Baltimore did with Davante Adams, which was like unprecedented, triple teaming him,
triple coverage,
and doing a bunch of different stuff, that obviously makes everybody else's job easier. That defensive coordinators are coming into these games and they are going to say it's Aaron Jones and Dylan. That's our number one objective to stop. They're not going to come in and say, batten down the hatches, you got to stop Alan Lazard. They're not going to do that. Now, can that change?
Right.
If Alan Lazard starts popping, doing a lot of stuff, but he isn't a home run hitter. And that's always something defensive coordinators' biggest thing. Stop the run. Don't give up big plays. Devontae, for as great as Devontae was, he was not a monster home run hitter. He was a great route runner. He made big plays, but it wasn't, oh, God, we got to make sure. It's not Tyreek Hill and saying we have to make sure we're staying off soft. He beats you with his footwork, not his speed. Defensive coordinators, if you're asking me, and what I think the question was, are they coming into this season expecting this receiving core to be as good as what they were last year? The answer is resoundingly no. What you're also going to say is there's always, and we every time you'd sit in a meeting on Wednesday, defensively, or for me it was offense, but we would go and say, don't let this guy wreck the game. Troy Polamalu, big circle. Wherever 43 is, don't let him be a game wrecker. Julius Peppers, don't let him be a game wrecker. They do the same thing on the other side of the ball. Bill Belichick is known for saying, we're not going to let Devontae beat us. Make somebody else. Right now, it's Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. There is nobody that any defensive coordinator on the other side is going to look at and put a big circle around other than those two backs.
And here's my point, and I'm not picking on John in Minnesota, but I told you what the first play was of the red zone. The last three plays with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and now Jordan Love is in. Rodgers was sacked. Rodgers was flushed and threw incomplete to a diving Smitty. And Rodgers was rushed and threw incomplete across the middle to Alan Lazard. Now, Romeo Doubs just caught. Is it Romeo Doubs? I think it's Romeo Doubs. Might be Juwan Winfrey. I think it's Juwan Winfrey. I stand correct. Those three plays with Aaron Rodgers. This is what you're going to get, right? You're going to get some good. There's going to be good moments. They still have the four-time NFL MVP at quarterback. He's going to make plays. Sometimes they'll be to Sammy Watkins, even if we're not so sure how good he is. But there's also going to be, with an offensive line that doesn't have Elgton Jenkins or David Bakhtiari today, because Elgton Jenkins isn't doing team 11-on-11, he's also going to get pressured a bunch, and he's going to have to rush throws. This is what they're going to have to deal with for a while. And maybe once they've got Robert Tonyan playing tight end instead of Smitty, and maybe when they've got Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari as the bookend tackles instead of Royce Newman and Yosh Nyman, then maybe things get better. And maybe as he matures, Romeo Doubs will have fewer penalties and run fewer wrong routes and have fewer drops and have more confidence. But this is all going to be a process, and it's what we've been saying, Tausch, correct me if I'm wrong, all along, which is, and Rodgers has said too, they're going to have growing pains. And yesterday was some of those, and it looks like today they're going to have more of those. And Rodgers is back in at quarterback, and we'll see what he does here. But this is, and my fundamental question about what Rodgers said yesterday. Now, he had a secure pocket there, threw to Randall Cobb. They weren't on the same page. Now they're in completion. My fundamental question about Rodgers, based on what he said yesterday, is how is he going to handle the frustrations that come with the inconsistencies that this offense is going to experience? Because he knows they're coming. He's experienced them throughout camp, and they're not going to stop when they start playing games that count, right? He's going to have to figure out how he's going to deal with them. And the one major argument that I ever got into with his predecessor, Jesse's favorite quarterback, Brett Favre, was in 2005. It was during a conversation. And now Rodgers threw over the middle to Romeo Doubs. The ball was batted around and fell incomplete. It was not picked off. The biggest argument I ever got in with Favre was in 2005. And Tausch, I don't know if you remember this game. You guys were at Philly. Season's not going well. It's in November. You guys have already lost a bunch of games. And you guys go to Philly and you have the ball late in the game with a chance to win. Favre drops back, throws one of those punt-style interceptions. Looks like the game is over. There's a roughing the passer call. You guys keep the ball. You get 15 yards. Now you're at midfield. On the very next play, Favre drops back, throws another interception. Same safety that intercepted the last one, intercepts it again. It's the same pass, same interception. You guys lose. After the game, I asked him, what did he see on the interception? And he says, I was just trying to make a play. Subsequently, I ask him, why weren't you guys able to get things going offensively? And he goes into a lengthy explanation of how Vonte Leach, a rookie fullback at the time, dropped a pass on the opening series of the second half, and that you guys never got going offensively because he dropped that pass. Now, again, this is after you guys had the ball with a chance to win and Brett Favre at quarterback. And so what I wrote the next day was that here's their three-time MVP and leader who, instead of saying, you know what, we had a chance to win and I didn't get it done, touchdown pass Aaron Rodgers to Juwan Winfrey again. Instead of the quarterback saying, I didn't get it done when we had a chance to win, he threw a rookie under the bus. And I'm not saying that's what Rodgers did yesterday, but I thought that was a really bad look for Brett Favre. And somebody told him about the story. He, of course, had not read it. And we got into an argument in the locker room in front of Aaron Rodgers, because I was in the middle of talking to Rodgers at the time. My point is that when you are accustomed to success and you are accustomed to the standard being the standard, when you have guys around you that aren't able to get up to that standard, it's going to frustrate the hell out of you. And I'm eager to see what Rodgers is going to do in the season if he has to deal with that, because it is bound to happen. It is bound to happen. And how he handles it is going to be a big test for him. Do you remember that game?
I do. I think you bring up a couple of good points. The big one, and I think this is a kind of a lead into why great players, it's so hard for them to coach. Because I don't think you, and when you're elite of elite, you think things just so much more differently than the players that have to make sure they have everything buttoned up, because it's a lot harder for them to actually get done what they need to. Great players have a hard time coming down to that level to see where these players are at. And I think that's why you don't see great players coach for the most part. There's obviously exceptions to every rule. But in that case, I don't think Brett Favre was telling you, we stunk because Vonte Leach dropped one ball. I think he's probably thinking through the entire process of what all happened. That was one of the things. And that leads, but to where Aaron Rodgers is going to be, he's had things a certain way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Can he make those adjustments and allow himself, when he's got the one side, it's almost like the devil on, you know, the devil and the angel on one side, you know, on one shoulder and the other. You have to balance the standard being the standard and understanding not everybody is going to be there. How do you get that teeter-totter level? You sometimes have to either add some weight to it or drop a little bit to make it a little more level so you can see eye to eye with somebody and try to move forward that way. It's not the easiest thing to do, and especially somebody that's been in the league 18 years and had the success that he's had. how he goes about doing it is going to be a big part of how well this season's going to play out, because he's going to need to make those adjustments.
The red zone period is over. Packers had, I believe, 3 total touchdowns in about 12 plays. The last one by Juwan Winfrey was from Jordan Love. We're into a special teams period. We'll see if there's any, what did Wes call it, differences of opinion. Still not sure we've had a full-fledged fight, but I'll say this. Anybody who says that AmFam isn't a great partner, we will definitely fight them, won't we, Tausch?
We will, Jason. We love American Family Insurance. Jesse and I going to AmFam Field tomorrow for the big Dodgers-Brewers tilt. Y'all Brewers fans, you can go and have a great experience at AmFam Field. And American Family Insurance, they want you and 5 friends to experience the Brewers game day of a lifetime at American Family Field this September. Pennants will be chased. You could win a true VIP Brewers tailgate, tickets to the game, Christian Yelich autographed gear, and much, much more. Enter today at amfam.com/brewers. That's amfam.com/brewers. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Missed any of the show? Find us on Wisconsin On Demand wherever you get your podcasts. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Gravity's holding me back. I want you to hold out the palm of your hand. Why don't we leave it at that? Nothing to say.
Continuing from Packers Saints practice, as special teams are going on now. Special teams and a special part of the program. Time now for Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I got to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Got a little dicey last night for the Milwaukee Brewers. Fun playoff-type atmosphere in an 11-inning win over the Los Angeles Dodgers at AmFam Field. Victor Caratini, walk-off 2-RBI single in the 11th inning to win it. On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, as we amp up Brewers fever and the push for the postseason, how confident are you that the Brewers will get to the postseason? 2 back of the Cardinals, 1 back of the Padres for the final wild card spot. 1 to 10 scale, how confident that they make the playoffs, Tausch?
6.5. So it's a little bit more than half. I still think that the best way in is going to be via the division. You get a couple games. I don't know how many games left against the Cardinals, but it's some. What is it, 4 left against them?
I don't know.
Where I think they're going to go, because the Dodgers, obviously 2 more against LA. You have a lot of challenges ahead of you, and I'm still worried about the mentality of that locker room. I think this is a tough, gritty team. I think they've been, you know, from a strength standpoint, their bullpen was probably the strength of the team, and that got lessened, and there's questions. And then the psyche of, do they think that the front office believes in them, which I know you could say, well, pros need to be pros, they need to do their job, all fair points, but that doesn't mean human nature doesn't sink in a little bit. When I heard those Devin Williams comments, I was probably at a 2.5 or a 3. I think that they're in a better spot than that now, but I do not feel uber confident that this is going to be a postseason team. I think the streak may end.
Yeah, I'm a four. But let's get to the real thing here. Yes, Victor Caratini, walk-off hit. But did you see Hunter Renfro's base running?
Yeah.
Did you see that, Jesse? Like,
it was gutsy.
McCutchen, your guy, your
sleeper of the season.
Ridiculous sleeper of the
That's
season.
A win for
former
me.
MVP. Is ambling, much like the Saints, home. And it was like a scene in Major League where two guys score in rapid succession, Willie Mays, Hayes, and somebody else. Like, Hunter Renfro's right behind him. Like, he almost lapped him. And that was the game-winning run. So I thought that was a pretty cool finish. But I'm still a four. Next.
Whoa, Nelly!
Hunter Renfro's lucky that ball didn't get caught out in right field. Otherwise, that's the game right there. That'd be very unfortunate. Twitter trash or Twitter treasure from ESPN's Field Yates. I read this last night. I couldn't tell if I really enjoyed it or if I was irritated by it. And it explains the state of college football. Atlanta has officially been announced as the site of the college football playoff national championship game for 2025. Alabama's opponent for the game has yet to be determined. Do we enjoy that, or do we think that's kind of IPT, Tausch?
Treasure.
It's not IPT. It's trash, though, because they didn't even win the national championship last year.
They were in it, though.
They didn't win it.
But they were in it.
I mean, if Nick Saban had won it again, and granted, everybody's picking Alabama and Nick Saban to be the squad this year again, and you should. If you bet against Nick Saban, you don't like money. But I think I don't think they didn't win the championship. They just didn't win it. So it rings a little hollow to me. I appreciate his attempt at humor. I thought it fell flat.
Disagree. Treasure. They may not win it, but they seem to be always in it. And the joke was that Alabama's opponent has yet to be determined. Didn't say the team Alabama's going to beat is yet to be determined. So I say it's treasure.
Yeah. But you're treating them like they're the champs, and they're not.
No, I'm treating them like, how many national championship games have they played in now in the last...
A bunch.
Since we've had this.
A lot.
If they don't win it, they seem to always be in it. I'm sure...
You got to be in it to win it.
Can fact check that for us. Yes.
Got to be in it to win it. No, they've been in a bunch, but they didn't win it.
Yeah. The standard you got to be in it to win it, and the standard is the standard. Exactly.
Whoa, Nelly!
Beat me to it.
By the way, one of the things I hope now that we're kind of coming to grips with two big conferences, let's get some championship games in Green Bay. In the Midwest. Wyatt, we always got to be playing down on their turf.
Wyatt so hard, or Wyatt not possible?
You're not using Wyatt correctly. No, I did
Wyatt,
use it. Wyatt, we not getting.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. Next.
Whoa, Nelly!
Last one, personal question. Got this beautiful house thanks to Stacy Bruner and Bruner Realty and Eric and his team at Nations Lending.
I'm so proud of you when you do this. Like, this brings a lot of joy to my face when you do this. Okay, continue.
I might need to find a garage door person.
Uh-oh.
Our garage door keeps randomly opening on its own.
Ghosts.
Robots.
Have you ever heard of this happening?
Your Roomba wants out, trying to figure out how it can get. Don't leave your door between the garage, because he's figured out, he or she has figured out how to get out of the garage. I think Roomba is who's running this.
So we leave in the middle of the day. It'll open at random. We have no idea when. We'll go to bed. Like, I went to bed after midnight last night. It was closed. I was up by 6:30 this morning. It was open. It's just at random. It seems like there's no rhyme or reason to the garage door just randomly deciding to open. I've never heard of it. Do you have any idea what's happening?
And just to be clear you don't have Ashton Rotman's car in your garage that has been stolen three times. And
no.
He's, I believe, getting back today, so it could be stolen from your garage. This is not related to those thefts.
No, not whatsoever. Nothing's been stolen. Great neighborhood. Just the garage door just keeps randomly opening.
You're sure you closed it?
Every time, yes. The first couple times I doubted myself. 100% sure. I checked it before I went to bed last night. After midnight.
Ghosts. It's ghosts. Your house is haunted. You should get Stacy Bruner to resell it for you so you can find a different place.
Our house is not haunted, Jason. We do not live in a haunted house. It's not a spooky mansion.
My favorite people from Associated Bank are all leaving. They're not even staying to listen to the rest of half of Wildy and Tausch. They're all heading for the exits. They've seen enough. Maybe they're going to close Jesse's garage door. Sorry, I had to get that in while they were still here. And somebody just threw away Aaron Rodgers' face in the garbage can. Those fans that are really nice. Would it be poor form to take it back out?
What are you talking about?
No. So he wants those little faces on a stick, and Jason should take that out.
Yeah, you should steal that. Yeah,
I've got my Tausch fans that are in my office, but I don't have an Aaron Rodgers fan. I can glue that stick back on there. We can get it to work. I'm on top of that. All right, that's it for Woe Nelly. Thanks to the great team at Associated Bank. You know how much I love them. They're going to get lunch. They've seen enough of practice. We have not. We have more Packers practice against the Saints and more Wildy and Tausch to wrap up next. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing from Packers practice, Tausch, the thing that we didn't get to, so Rodgers just threw another pass to Romeo Doubs. It was incomplete. I don't know why. I don't know if the route was bad, the throw was bad, defense was good, whatever it might have been. The thing we didn't talk about is, if you were Romeo Doubs in the wake of yesterday, how would you have approached today's practice, and would you have pressed at all? Because that's the one thing. We didn't talk about it from his perspective. We talked a lot about it from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. From his perspective, what do you think today's been like, and what do you think his approach has been? And what could we find out from him based on how he handled it today?
Yeah, I think that it's human nature would tell you that you would be extra focused in on, you know, trying to make sure you have a good practice. And that could be a really good thing, too. You don't want him to press, but the natural tendency would be is I want to make sure, I want to get everything fixed. I want to get it done. Whenever you get challenged, typically athletes and alphas are going to try and step up to that challenge. And that's what you hope that you see from Romeo Doubs. Quickly on this garage door bit that Jesse has, my boy YZ texted me and said, a lot of times neighbors will have the same frequency.
What?
On their remote control. And that might be where Jesse is having issues. So maybe check with the neighbors. Reset your frequency. I don't know how you do any of that.
Yeah.
That might be your next step.
I've taken three calls off the air with people suggesting what's going on. Don in Sun Prairie said it's probably ghosts. So we got that going for us.
I think that's the most likely scenario.
I still think it's Roomba. I think Roomba's got something to do with it, too.
I don't have a Roomba.
Jesse will.
Then that makes it really
tough. I thought everybody has a Roomba.
If you don't even have Roomba.
It was number one in our power rankings yesterday. That'll do it for us from Packers practice. Practice will continue. We'll see what Romeo Doubs can do in the remaining snaps that he has. We'll talk again tomorrow. Not from practice as the Packers get ready for Friday night's preseason game against these same Saints. That does it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.